from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Monday to everybody. Just another glorious weekend in the Puget Sound region.
It is
weather-wise.
Beautiful, beautiful when it comes to weather. It ain't been so beautiful when it comes to news. So, therefore, let's get this out of the way. Let's get to it, Ursula. Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And you heard it in Heather's newscast. At a time when gun violence is skyrocketing, it was an especially deadly weekend in Seattle.
Belltown, Pioneer Square, Capitol Hill, and the Chinatown International District. All four neighborhoods hit with what SPD says appears to be unrelated shootings. Eight people hit, three of them killed within a three-hour period. Early Sunday morning, Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz.
This is what we've been talking about, the uptick in gun violence from 2020 into 2021. But we've got to figure out a way to get the guns off the streets.
The chief noting the city's uptick in shootings comes as SPD deals with a steady loss of officers. He called on all of us to encourage family and friends to put down their weapons and find other ways than violence to resolve their issues.
And Cairo Radio's Hannah Scott reports late last night there was a fifth shooting in the Lake City neighborhood. One person was killed there. Seattle police, we're learning now, have arrested two people in connection with the Belltown shooting. And at noon today, the mayor and chief, Adrian Diaz, are expected to speak at a press conference to address all this violence.
And the shooting that just happened recently this morning that I just sent you guys over by text. Did you see that?
Yes,
one?
I did. So, yes. Yeah, so this nonstop.
Yes. There is no pretty way to say this. This is bad. This is something that I had said about 2 or 3 months ago. I said it is going to be a hot summer. I hope that I'm wrong. And I think a lot of us hope that we were wrong. But we're not. It is bad. It is particularly bad downtown Seattle. It's particularly bad in the city of Seattle. And the facts are this. There is no excuse for it. The reasonings are a multitude, multiple reasons. There's, yes, mental health is a factor of a lot of people. There is the lockdown that has happened. There are people that are struggling to pay their bills that has happened. There's people that have no hope that has happened. And this gun violence continues. A year ago, I just saw a buddy of mine. He just celebrated a year, just this past year, of losing his son to gun violence. Another friend lost his son on Memorial Day of 2020 to gun violence. This is bad. This is more than, I mean, as far as the, we got to put the guns down, there's way too many guns out here. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. That's a wrap. There's a gun problem. There's a mental health problem. People are struggling. Conflict resolution is at an all-time low. Everybody's angry. And this is what is happening. And so, go ahead, Ursula.
Well, I think you make a ton of points. I want to look at just one of these shootings.
Okay.
The one that happened in Pioneer Square next to a parking lot. There's the Stage Seattle nightclub. Apparently, they were having a big city jump mega hip hop event from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Yep.
And there were three to four. So there are hundreds of people in there. And there was a bunch of people in the nightclub next to it, and they had to keep their people in that main room until 2:30 a.m. after the gunfire had stopped. Now, here's my question. Given all the things that you have talked about, isn't there some responsibility as well for the people who are throwing these events? Like, hey, should you be doing checks for weapons before you even get in there?
I mean, that would be like putting the blame on the Seattle Seahawks throwing an event or the Mariners throwing an event, and then there's a shooting that happens later on down the street. I mean, people are going to be throwing, whether it's a party or get-together, there is no correlation and justification for someone throwing an event or the responsibility. I mean, no. Yeah, there's checks. That's why the club, the shooting doesn't happen inside of the club. Right? They don't happen inside of the club because you can't take guns inside of the club. So that's the reason why they happen out. outside of the club.
So, yeah, and I don't know that there were checks inside of the club. But in any case, yeah, the gunfire did happen outside. You are correct. But the other thing that is happening, we talk about the staffing crisis within the Seattle Police Department. We know that 270 officers have left the department. They're responding to one shooting, and then there's another one that happens and another one that happens. We don't have the resources available to handle. There is very much not just a staffing crisis, but there's a public safety crisis for our entire city.
No question about it. 100% right. This is the worst. I can say this in going back to the beginning of the summer, and I hoped that I was really wishing that it wouldn't be a hot summer like it, for some reason, it is right now. I've never seen it like this. I have not seen this amount of, at least, is it fair to say, Ursula, over the last 5 years, I have not seen the violence that we are seeing reported here in the Seattle area in this time. And it's alarming. And it's just the middle of July. And, oh, by the way, how is this going to get better? That is the question. I'm looking forward to that press conference. And so I'll throw that back to you. How does that get better?
Well, and we're going to have a more in-depth conversation, because we're going to bring Hannah on, because there are some things that are being suggested right now. We talked about it. Some of the things in terms of how do you get people from a very young age to not choose the path that they do. So you need to do that intervention. You need to have that disruptor so that they don't go down the path of violence. One thing that is very clear, our criminal justice system is broken. People are committing crimes and then they're coming right back out onto the streets. We've got to fix that. You've got to give more opportunities for these young people. And we talk about that. But there, if they continue down that path, there need to be consequences. And we're too often seeing that that's not the case. But you talked about conflict resolution and this quick run to guns as being the answer. And we're not saying that the people who have the guns, who are, you know, lawfully owning them and are safe and are responsible with them, we usually hear from them when we bring up gun violence. But it's clear that the guns are getting into the wrong hands.
And yes, you're right. And when you say the wrong hands, I was thinking, and right when you said that, it came to me. When you say the wrong hands are in the hands of A, people that just feel like they just have no hope. And B, they have no responsibility, meaning they don't have, maybe they don't have to be to work the next day. Maybe they don't have children to hold them accountable. Maybe they don't have to care for a loved one. They don't have a significant other. So when you say the wrong hands, and then the increase of the stress that is going on. And again, sometimes when I say these things, it feels like I am giving justification, because I am not giving any justification as to what's happening. But I want to specifically talk about the wrong hands that these guns are getting into. And it's a problem. And it's multiple reasons as to why this is happening. It is not just one thing. And so if anybody wants to say, well, you know, it's a lack of staff with the police and it's opportunity, it's
All of
the things that you are saying.
Yes.
Like, if you are coming up with one reason, so if you are listening and you have a reason as to why this is happening, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So it's all of these reasons. And so this is why it is so important for Seattle leadership to be on the same page. Because if you guys aren't on the same page, then how can you expect this city to move forward in the right direction? So this next vote for mayor is important. This next vote for whoever the seats up for Seattle City Council in the future are important. And it's like you told me 3 months ago, I'll never forget, looked you right in your face, Ursula, and you said, so much of our politics now are coming down to identity politics. You said that, and you have never been more right. The senseless, what we're arguing about, what we're fighting about, we're not getting to the root cause of things on how we're going to make a better tomorrow. And this will continue if we keep up with the identity politics.
Well, did our state get rid of the mask mandate too soon? King County Health Officer Dr. Jeff Duchin thinks so.
After about 2 months of decreasing numbers, the trajectory of our COVID-19 outbreak has changed, and cases and hospitalizations in King County are rising. Over the last 7 days, we're reporting 141 new cases daily. The number of new cases has more than doubled in just 3 weeks since June 29th, when the mask directive was lifted. That's a 130% increase.
And with these COVID cases spiking again, Dr. Duchin is recommending that everyone, whether you're vaccinated or not, wear a mask in indoor public spaces.
If universal masking is implemented in Washington next week, it will prevent between 540 and 880 deaths in Washington state in the next 15 weeks.
The Delta variant of COVID-19 is causing cases to surge all across the country. All 50 states are seeing increases. St. Louis and Los Angeles are reinstating their mask mandates. And as of this morning, New York City says they're going to be requiring all city workers to get COVID vaccines by mid-September, or else they're going to face weekly COVID-19 testing.
It's July, Ursula, and there's a lot of people on vacation, full-fledged into the summer, kind of like enjoying the weather, enjoying being off restriction, if you will, from the pandemic and the quarantine. And right now, it's not as real as it's going to be. And Ursula, it is going to get real when back to school happens. There's a bunch of kids who are too young for the vaccine. Okay, they can't get vaccinated. So for all the parents out there that have children who are too young to get vaccinated, we have to get a hold of this, because if this Delta variant continues, it has the potential to really spread fast and really cause harm to those that are unvaccinated in this country.
Okay, so let me ask you just the question. Should we be doing what LA and St. Louis are doing?
Yes.
Right now,
yes,
it's a recommendation.
Yes.
You want it to be mandated again to wear a mask.
And here's why I do. I'm going to be very clear. I want to wear a mask again, not because this is something that I love to do. I want to wear a mask again because I know that there are children that are going to be going back to school. I know that there are unvaccinated people that are going to be in school. According to what the experts are saying, this Delta variant is more transmissible and harder on the body. So, yes, I want to do my part to help others.
Yeah.
Ursula,
I'm just going to do my part. I'm going to do my part and go back. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm going to do my part. When I'm in indoor public settings, I'm going to wear my mask. I see where stores are now saying, if you are fully vaccinated, you're free to not wear your mask. I'll just wear it. If someone wants to call me, whatever it is, I'll do it. Who will I do it for? The people who still refuse to get vaccinated for whatever reason. I know that there are some who legitimately can't, but there are others who are just saying, I'm not going to do it.
Is there everybody in your household vaccinated, Ursula?
Yes.
And everybody in my household is vaccinated. And I still want to do more to help others.
Yeah. And I think, but I don't know that making it mandatory at this point is going to help. I think the people who are doing it are going to do it. And I think it's going to be incumbent, sadly, on the businesses, et cetera, to decide, hey, I'm going to make it mandatory or not. I just don't know. Right now, again, it's still a recommendation. I'm going to do it. But I fear what is going to happen this fall.
Does this sign, I was at a restaurant yesterday, and I'm going to ask you and listeners, does this sign work? The sign says, thank you for wearing a mask if you are not fully vaccinated. Does that sign work? It says, thank you for wearing a mask if you are not fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I think for some people it will. And for those who absolutely refuse, and you know, we hear from them every day.
Yes, we do.
That's not going to work.
Okay.
So is everyone going to be compliant? Is everyone going to be truthful? No. But I think the thing that we have working for us, that in King County, we have such a high rate of vaccination, the people who are have the vaccination, that we are protected. I worry about other places. I worry about the kids who cannot.
You worry about our producer, Chef, whose kids can't get the vaccine?
Yeah, exactly. For that reason, I will continue to wear a mask and I will be vaccinated. And when I'm eligible to get another vaccine, I'll get it too. Tacoma might remove police officers from schools and will have them on call for emergencies instead. The News Tribune is reporting the proposal follows a months-long review of the district's safety and security plan. The teachers' union and others have been pushing for police officers to be removed from high school campuses. Right now, the district has a $2 million contract with the Tacoma Police Department for five school resource officers to work at each of the high school campuses and then one supervising sergeant. And they are armed and they do wear police uniforms. So how do you feel about this?
I'm good with that. I would take these police officers and let's get them. That money can be better served in the community, not at the schools. I don't believe that police officers, armed police officers, really help with crime at schools. They didn't have any armed police officers at Eastside Catholic. When I was living on the plateau, when I would go visit schools, I don't see any armed police officers there.
And I am not convinced that there isn't a role to have police officers at schools. And I think Tacoma's trying to come up with a medium, a middle ground here so that they're going to keep two. But I think that there is something to be said about having a relationship and understanding and interacting with police officers. Especially, there are people who I have heard whose children have talked to me about, hey, I liked it. I loved my interactions with them. They were some of the most influential people in my life. That's how I picture it. I don't know that that is necessarily the case for everybody. I've heard from others and some of the things that have gone into the studies and the reviews of these situations where they say they are some kids are fearful and then they end up not having a good relationship with police officers. But I would feel safer. You said they didn't have one at Eastside Catholic. There was a time when we were worried about, you know, especially after Marysville, where there was that mass shooting at the school there. And a lot of schools were contemplating, like, should we have an armed guard? And I know even my own kids were saying, I wish our school had one. Then I would feel safer. So It's not so clear cut, in other words. I mean, for me, I think that there is a role, and I think the district is now trying to come up with some kind of middle ground because they also employ community service officers that are assigned to middle and high schools. Certainly in the high school level, though, I think that there is a role. So I'm not 100% in agreement with what Tacoma is doing, in other words. Okay, still ahead. We were going to talk about it during the top five, but we're just going to bump it down right now because I need to talk about this. There is a Vancouver couple who's getting sued after leaving a one-star review about a bad experience with a company. Is that lawsuit legit? We're going to talk about that next. You are listening to the Gia and Ursula Show. Now 9:33. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show, Monday morning edition. We had a very spirited discussion during our top five stories, and we're going to bring back the gun violence story in the 10 o'clock hour. Hannah's going to join us. She has some new information, and many of you have texted in or emailed us with some of your questions or comments, and we will raise some of those things too. So lots more to talk about that. But question for you, G.
Yes.
Do you do Yelp reviews? If you are so mad about service or so happy about service, do you take the time to do Yelp or Google reviews?
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. I've only done one.
I might text you and Chef and tell you what's happening. What's going on?
Okay. So a Vancouver couple is getting sued after leaving one-star reviews about a bad experience they had with a roofing company. They had called Executive Roof Services after the roof started leaking a few months ago, and they say that the reception was rude and verbally abusive, the front desk worker. The couple each wrote a one-star Google review detailing their bad experience with that person that they spoke with, and they also filed a complaint with the Better Business Bureau. But instead of apologizing for the alleged bad service, the owner of that roofing company called the couple and then threatened to sue them if they didn't take down the review. And then the couple later got a letter from the owner's attorney also warning of a lawsuit if they didn't remove it. Well, the couple did not take it down, and now they are facing a more than $110,000 lawsuit.
Hmm. Well, okay, let me start by saying It's one thing to get a bad review on a restaurant, you know what I'm saying? Maybe your teriyaki chicken was too salty, you know what I'm saying? Your rice wasn't that great or something. But when you start talking about bad reviews on a roofing company, who in the competition that there is already with roofing, that could be rough. Now, Ursula.
Wait, hold it, hold it. There's also rough competition on teriyaki stores, I mean, restaurants, haircut places.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But here's what I'm saying. You don't have a problem going to a 2-star teriyaki place. If you're hungry, you're hungry. You do have a problem with a 2-star roofing company. That's all I'm saying. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you will, like, you know.
If you bother to look at reviews.
If you bother to look at reviews, which, by the way, in my household, Lillian, that's all she does. And shout out to all of you listening right now. You know who I'm talking to. Like, you will not go anywhere unless you check the Yelp reviews. You got anybody in your house like that?
My youngest son is like that. Not only will he look at the reviews and it's like, okay, no, Mom, that's only a 4.1 star. And then, I have to tell him, and he will read through a few of them, and then he'll look at the pictures, and he'll decide, you know, what he's going to order based on reviews, et cetera. And he really goes all in. I understand that in many cases, some people will have a vendetta. Sometimes those reviews are written by the competition. So I look at it, and that's one aspect. But if something can have a really bad review, and then I look at it and go, wait a minute, my experience has been very different, so I'm not going to even worry about that. Now, but in this case, though, here's the crazy thing.
What's that?
So they did not hire this roofing services company. Their landlord did. So the claim in this lawsuit is that they were not entitled to the information that they requested. They wanted a project report and a timeline. But because they were not customers of this roofing company, they claim that basically the owner says, you were not entitled to that information, so you were not entitled to write a review, which I call BS.
Okay.
And in fact, I don't think they're going to have any chance of winning their lawsuit because this is one of those things where it's what they call a slap. It's a strategic lawsuit against public participation. Essentially, you threaten to sue somebody. Hey, if you have a truly bad experience, you can write about it. And the owner of the company can respond. I mean, the one time I wrote a bad review, and I felt terrible afterward, but it was, I hope that she had changed her ways, but it was after my son got a haircut at a place where she changed the price as mid haircut and then decided that, and I said, well, this is just a boy's, like a little boy's haircut. And afterward, she decided, well, I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to keep cutting. And I'm going to let your son leave without even styling it. And he's going to walk out with wet hair. And I'm thinking, this is just terrible, terrible service. So I wrote about it. And she responded. You know, hopefully other people had better experiences. But that's my right as someone who had a bad experience. Now, I didn't take it too far. I didn't write a false thing. Right. But there are situations where people will write or, for example, like that chocolate company that had that experience with SPD where there a couple of employees or one employee mistreated or wouldn't refuse to serve. Now, everyone was writing reviews about that company when they hadn't actually they were writing about that particular thing. I mean, you can use it as a weapon. In other words, you know, is that right?
Yeah. In this, no, not always. In this story right here with the roofing company, now I look at that a little bit different.
Yeah,
right?
It's BS.
I think that's a little, well, I can kind of see the frustration of the roofing company. Like, hold, I don't know what happened, but the discrepancy is that, hey, this is between the landlord and me, and now the tenant is wanting copies or timeline or what we have done. And I'm sure the landlord or the roofing company's like, yo, I'm going to answer to the landlord who paid me. The tenant didn't pay me. So that could be where the breakdown and miscommunication happened, the frustration of the tenant. And the tenant's like, let me go ahead and just take to Yelp and write a bad review of a company that I didn't even hire.
But if both people, so both people who talked to this particular receptionist, they didn't say anything about the quality of the company or whatever. They said this particular person is treating people, customers, badly. You're saying that they don't have the right to say that just because they're the tenant versus the actual landlord? They were the ones with the experience with that the receptionist.
Well, so why didn't the tenant go to the landlord and work things out and say, hey, landlord, this roofing company and whatever your problems are?
I believe they did. So I think something's fishy on this one.
Now, don't get me wrong. I usually will side with the tenant on this. But something's up with this whole little deal. Here's what I don't like. I'm not comfortable with the whole tenant who did not hire the roofing company doing the Yelp review on the roofing company. If there was a problem, then I would be more comfortable with the negative Yelp review coming from the landlord. That's just me.
Okay. Yeah. And I think you might have a point there. I think you have a good point there. But I believe that the landlord is not concerned about it, not siding with one or the other. So I think it is their experience with this particular company. In any case, to now sue for $110,000, basically they're saying, as long as you keep the review up there, we're going to sue you for another $28,000 per week.
Hey, man, like I said, it's easy to go get a two-star teriyaki
than it is to get a two-star
roofing company. All right, coming up next, and we need to talk. Well, since we're talking about Yelp reviews, customer service, how about I tell you what happened to me and Lillian at the BJ's restaurant in Puyallup in South Hill. Yeah, we'll talk about that next. It's Gene Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 10:05, we will have Hannah Scott join us to talk about the latest news with the gun violence in Seattle, and also the gang connection to that violence. So that comes up in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now we need to talk. And Ursula, this comes on the heels of bad Yelp reviews.
A lot of people weighing in on that one. I want to add a few more details.
Okay. A lot of people. Woo-wee. But by the way, I agree with G for once. I said, wait a minute. I asked him back. I said, is this the first day? Are you kidding me? Anyways. So BJ's down in South Hill, shout out to everybody down in the South Hill community. Lillian and I went to BJ's yesterday, and we go in there. We get seated. It took nearly 50 minutes to get our appetizers. There's frustration, no matter how you slice it. We had a day planned out and had no idea it was going to take 50 minutes to get me some avocado rolls. By the way, those avocado rolls were slamming. And when the server brought it over to us, she said, hope this was worth the wait. Not a very good thing to say, but okay, you're trying. No problem. Then Lillian had ordered the unlimited soup and salad. And so, well, she had gotten her salad and she was just waiting for her soup. And so now we had been there a while and she said, hey, am I going to get my soup? Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot to put that in. Anyway, still frustration, but very calm about it. So I had asked I saw that there was a manager, looked like a manager, and it was. Came over, I said, hey, excuse me. Manager comes over. By the way, general manager's name is Karen. Really was. Name was Karen. And I expressed
it. I had to throw that in. Okay, keep going.
Anyways. I didn't want people to think I was lying about the name Karen. Okay. Like, it really was Karen. Anyways, I said, you guys have a problem with staffing right now? Because it's pretty bad. And she just kind of looked at me and she says, yes. We usually have 6 cooks. We're down to 4 cooks right now. We don't have the servers. I've never seen it like this. I'm so sorry. It has been a mess and a nightmare. And I said, I totally get it. Totally understand. I said, but the unfortunate part is there's going to be a lot of people that either A, take it out on their server when it comes to the tip, and or B, choose not to even come back to this business at all. And then that's a problem in itself. And so it was a good conversation back and forth. She understood my frustration. I understood her frustration. She could do the best that she can. Anyways, our bill comes, Ursula, and the bill comes and everything is at a zero. The manager took off everything on this deal.
That was nice. You didn't throw in a "my name is G Scott," did you?
No, I did not throw in a "my name is G Scott." I promise you I didn't. You can ask Lillian. No, I did not. And I thought, wow, that was really nice. Well, anyway, I brought the server over. I said, hey, can you charge us for a Coke? The server says, no, I don't want to do that. I said, yes, charges for a Coke. She charges for a Coke, and then we gave her a big tip, you know, because I didn't want it free, but I just love the fact that the general manager thought, hey, I'm going to take this off your bill. I don't want a free meal, Ursula. I just want them to hear my concern, if you will. Anyways, my point to telling this story is this. I really loved what the general manager did, because what that general manager did is made it to where, A, she took care of that server because that server got a huge tip. And B, I'm going to go back to BJ's because of that attention to detail and the appreciation in that exchange between myself and Karen, the general manager.
I love that, but not every business can afford to do that. And if every customer is upset, like you, and this comes on the heels of our discussion about reviews, right? And like I said, I've only written one review because I know how damaging they can be. And I would rather write positive reviews than negative reviews because so many businesses are still struggling. But again, you know, there are some businesses that deserve some of those bad reviews. In the case of the roofing contractor, just to be clear, there are some roofing people who are now saying, hey, I understand where this lawsuit's coming from because it wasn't between the landlord and the company. It was between the tenants, et cetera. So there may be some legitimacy there. It just sounded fishy to me. However, all that said, right now we are dealing with a situation where no business, very few businesses have enough people, and everyone wants their food right now. Restaurants are full. I went to one on Friday night. We were celebrating my older son's a birthday, and we had to wait. I suspected it was going to be crowded because it was crowded when we went on Mother's Day as well. And so we tried. There were two people doing the entire restaurant, taking orders and giving the food, serving the food. And so we tried to make it as best we could, but there was no use for us to complain. We kind of knew what we were going to get into. I know the situation with staffing right now. And I think we need to just remind people, everyone needs to have grace.
That's why we're telling this story. It's because of that. We're telling this story so that people, you understand that when you go out to eat, there is a potential and a possibility that you might get some very slow service.
Yes.
Now, I want to answer something really quick, Ursula. No, they did not have to discount my bill. Not at all. But sometimes just the conversation and just the back and forth communication between the staff and me or you, whoever's out, that sometimes is enough.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, Hannah Scott joins us to help us understand the gang connection to the gun violence that we have heard about in Seattle. She and Ursula.